Folks, at the end of this phone call, Jay is going to take some questions from the audience, so you might be thinking in that direction. If there's something that you haven't had answered yet in the first two phone calls, jot that down and try to get through. We'll probably have about 30 minutes for that purpose.
Rob, I am back.
All right.
Got water, I'm hydrated. Okay, I hope they made that list.
Yeah.
Because that's probably, other than the four or five no-cost ways to start that I talked about yesterday and reviewed this morning, that is the mother load of growth, of credibility. See, also, you get these organizations to endorse you. Besides, there's a great, great bonus. Besides 2, 3, 10 times greater result for the effort, 100% of their market get to see you in a very positive light with them putting the full force of their name, their credibility behind it. I realized this years ago. I went to Tony Robbins, had him endorse me. I went to Success Magazine, had them endorse me. I went to Nightingale Conan, had them endorse me. I went to 25 financial newsletters, had them endorse me. You endorsed me, Rob. Well, you've spent, for example, you know, 5, 10 years building credibility. You've got a payroll of $100,000. You spend, you know, maybe 50 grand putting the magazine out. I got to take full advantage of all of that just for having you put 8 pages in your magazine or send out an email. Do you see leverage there?
Of course.
And the same dynamic works for each and every one of you. And that's that, like, this thing, this one concept, people, is like going to transform your whole life if you execute and act on it. Let me continue. To increase the size of the transaction, number one, improve your team's selling techniques at what's called upselling and cross-selling. Same thing. If you don't, I mean, and I'm going to urge you tomorrow and give you a lesson in how to recruit, how to train, how to compensate, how to arm yourself with the highest quality professionals so you raise the bar and you multiply many times the level of achievement. The next is use point of sale promotions. You ever go to 7-Eleven, Rob?
Oh, once in a while.
You know, at the counter they got all kinds of things that are impact impulse purchases.
Yeah, like at Starbucks, the same thing.
Yeah. If you use not just abstract but very specific point of sale promotions for different advanced programs that are posted in the studios or the schools, videos, you know, brochures that are self-explanatory, written in the You Attitude, constant things like that that are setting them up. If every time you talk to a parent. But and this is, if you have the right mindset, the strategy preeminence, which I will have to teach tomorrow, you will never look self-serving. You will never look awkward. You will never be anything but congruent and extraordinarily in rapport. But you're constantly advancing and enhancing a multiplied future relationship because it's in the best interest of the student, right?
Well, Jay, most schools out there have a pro shop, and it's usually stocked with all kinds of martial arts items that are either mandatory or extra stuff that they could purchase, like, you know, weapons or books or any of that kind of stuff. Are you saying that they should have point-of-purchase materials, say, at the front counter with things that are on sale and items that the students can purchase?
Maybe, but I've not been to a lot of the schools, but don't the parents sit in the lobby or something?
Sure they do.
I think the lobby is the big impact. Well, who is it? I mean, it depends on who. You got three types of students. You got three types of influences. One are the parents sitting in the lobby. The other is the young and the older students going through the pro shop. And the other is a influence out there. I mean, I'm not sure I wouldn't take different items and put samples of them in the if you want to sell those in the lobby. I'm not sure I wouldn't take certain items and have a special extended class that dealt with it. If it's, I mean, I basically you're going to get exactly what you deserve and what you marketing asked for. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, let's talk about other ways to increase a point of purchase. You can have signage, good signage that doesn't just, it's not abstract. By the way, any and all of you who do any kind of external events, booths, shows, fairs, which I think some of them probably do, don't they, Rob?
Absolutely.
I talked about headlines. I said the headline is the ad for the ad. It's got to denominate the biggest payoff to the prospect, not to you. Most people in your business, if they're running a banner, the banner would say master karate,
yeah,
or
karate,
martial arts training,
mm-hmm,
or free lesson. Well, while free lesson may sound exciting, I don't care about that until I know you that lesson is going to deliver to me something I want, because what's much more precious to me is my time and my opportunity cost. Do you understand that?
Can you give us a specific example, Jay?
Yeah. You know, let's take, what do you think the singularly biggest, most universal reason people would take martial arts in general?
We'll say for kids, it's, let's just say self-confidence.
Okay. If your banner, instead of saying Jay's karate or taekwondo, if my banner said, let's say, double your child's self-confidence in 6 weeks guaranteed.
I'm going to steal that headline.
Now, I mean, that to me is going to attract the people for the right reason, instead of somebody putting a card in a fishbowl and maybe winning a free lesson. And you get into quality lead generating externally in booths and in shows. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. It's about resonating the right payoff so that everybody there wants what you're offering. They want the outcome. They're soliciting you. Does that make sense?
Can I take it one step further? If you're going to double a child's confidence in 6 weeks guaranteed, does that mean you're going to offer them a free 6-week course, but then try to sell them on the program part of the way through?
You've set me up. I'm going to stop this, and we'll maybe do some more on this tomorrow.
Okay.
Let me get into the answer, because it's the next thing I want to talk to.
Okay.
I want to teach everybody here in 3 minutes or less how to be the most masterful marketing expert in their community, at bar none. And it's not trying to take copious notes and remember everything I say and become a really great copywriter, although I'm going to teach you in a minute how to write great copy. It's about understanding that the answer lies in asking the market and not telling them. Most of the people I interviewed, and you guys were the higher performers, really were trying to tell the market. You weren't really asking them constantly, what approach appeals more to you? What offer, what guarantee is the one you're going to respond to the most and that I'm going to get the most subsequent resales from? You're just sort of saying, I think this is a better approach than that, or I think this time of the year I should do that, or I think that today I should go with weight loss instead of going with all of them at the same time and totally different ads and totally different approaches. What I have learned, and the reason I've made $7 billion, is not that I'm brilliant, but I have brilliantly learned to respect the fact that the key to all direct response marketing is testing. You ask different questions, and when you test, what you will find, you test variables. A variable is a headline, it's an offer, it's a proposition, it's a guarantee, it's a price. When you test, you'll find that one headline or opening or its equivalent can make a difference of 21 times. Rob, that means that one thing can pull $100 and another thing can pull $2,100 for the same effort.
Unbelievable.
You'll find that one proposition can outpull another by about as much as 10 times. One theme, weight loss versus fat. Now, by the way, just because it pulls better doesn't mean it converts or resells better. You got to analyze that. One price. I've seen $5,000 outpull $3,000 by four times. I've seen $15 outpull $21 by three times. I've seen 19 outpull 18 by five times, but you don't know that if you try to guess. The price of guessing, the price of conjecture, the price of thinking you know what the market wants better than they do is that you basically accept a very restricted, very limited, very minimal yield on your life investment, meaning you make less, you impact less, you are respected less in your community. If that's what you want, you're welcome. But for very little additional effort, but for a shift in attitude, The only vote that counts is the vote of the market, and you should always be testing one premise against another in analyzing the results, Rob. Now, am I right? Didn't we give everybody in the grounding materials the case studies?
Yes, 502 case studies. I believe it was like an 800-page PDF.
Yeah, it is. It's a CD that's got 800 pages, and these are 800 pages of actual real-life firsthand explanations of different things they did, different approaches they tested, different mindsets they adopted. 25% of the successes reported, which doubled and tripled yield, were nothing more than testing one risk reversal guarantee, one way of saying it against another, engaging the difference it made in their initial sales and the difference it made in their ability to sell more advanced and expensive products, services. If you guys haven't read this, shame on you, but I urge you to read it because I gave you basically about $300 million worth of ideas all laid out, including everybody that shared their success story at the end told you, because they wrote it for the reader, they didn't write it for themselves, they did it as a gift to everyone else in the future, told you what you had to do to take advantage of the same thing. But testing is the key. I spent a lot of years working for one of the largest multivariable testing organizations in the world, and they did billions of dollars of experiments. They worked for companies that paid them millions of dollars a piece. They would test one sales approach over another. They would test putting things in different places over higher, lower. They would test coloration difference. They would test difference in customer service. They would test differences in all kinds of things. And what they found was this: 25% of the things you currently do are actually negatively, they're bringing your business down. 25% of the things that you do have no effect at all. 25% of the things you test could double or triple your results. 25% of the breakthroughs you will get are going to come from things you would never consciously think about. They're going to be counterintuitive. You couldn't be, if your life depended on it, if you had to put your whole life savings or the life of your firstborn or your spouse on the line, you'd lose because you just have to test it. They also found that some of the greatest breakthroughs, 25% of the greatest breakthroughs, you do one thing, it only works marginally. You do something else, it only works marginally. You do them together, back to back, following each other, and the outcome is monstrous. You've got to test constantly. When you do, you will become amazed at how much greater one thing will work than another. Your goal is not just to do the first thing is to find the highest performing and do that first. But if you have seven things that work and are profitable, Rob, you don't just pick the best. You can do all seven as long as they pay out at your allowable cost. Does that make sense, Rob?
Yeah, and a long time ago in one of our conversations, you taught me about testing, and since then I've been applying that strategy, and I have to say the results have been unbelievable.
That's great. That's great. Now I want to switch because tomorrow we're going to do a lot of interaction work. I want to build, and then I got at least a couple things I want to do. I've talked a lot about direct response marketing, haven't I? I want to give you some formulas generally, then I want to give you some rules, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to give you three formulas. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that are considered the greatest marketing people out there. One of them is Robert Collier, one of them is Victor Schwab, one of them is Bob Stone, one of them is Bob Bly, and there's a couple other people. I'm going to give you all of their formulas, not to confuse you because you're going to see they're all the same. And ironically, it's the same basic formula for great consultative selling, okay?
Okay.
First is you get their attention by telegraphing something that has value to them, not you. Next is you rouse their interest by demonstrating what the implications of that are or showing it in action. Next, you stimulate their desire by making it available to them right now. Next, you ask them to take action. Four things. It's called the AIDA formula. That's the simplest. The next simplest, there's something called attention, interest, description. You describe the product or service or the benefit. And by the way, people don't buy features. They buy benefits. If you say, hey, I've got 12 instructors here, and they have on average 10 years experience, that's a feature. If I say that means the average instructor to student ratio is four times better than the average school, and the average instructor is five times better skilled than anyone out there. That's a lot more powerful, isn't it?
It is, and if you have a leadership team with a whole bunch of assistant instructors, you could make a claim like that. It's very true. It's just most people aren't doing it.
Yep. So I'm going to go on to the next. I'm skipping some of the very close ones. Next one's gains attention, focuses on the prospect, customer, buyer. Three, stresses the benefits. Four, differentiates you from the competition. Preempts you. What's different about me? And there's a whole formula I can give you maybe tomorrow. Five, proves its case. Prove. You know, I always write when I'm writing long copy, you know, you might be skeptical, so let me prove it now. First of all, here's some of the prestigious people's help. Second of all, here's the people who have written stories about him. Third of all, here's what he's masterful in. Fourth of all, here's the kind of way he guarantees. And I prove it through every different point of view. What I just said was one paragraph, right? So it doesn't take a lot of space. Next, establishes credibility. Here are the organizations who recommend him. Here are the numbers and the kinds of people he's taught. Here are some of his actual students who are known in the community. Here's the awards they've received. Builds value. Here's what it'll be worth at the end or throughout. Here's what that means in your life, in your career, in your to your body, to your relationships. Eight, closes with a call to action. Does that make sense, Rob?
It does, and it can be done in person. It could be done in direct response advertising. It could be put on a website. You name it.
Good. Let me now get into a couple of the key things about crafting any kind of direct response selling communication. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, 25 rules. I'm going to give you two different things. I'm going to run through them fast. Write about people, things, and facts. Write as you talk. If you look at how we talk versus how we write, we talk colloquial. We talk one-on-one. We talk me talking to you. Use contractions. People don't say cannot. They say can't. Use first person. I'm talking to you, Rob. Quote what is said. Put yourself in the reader's place. I know how I would feel, Rob, if I were the mother or father of a beautiful, you know, bright, you know, healthy son or daughter who doesn't have a good sense of their own worth, who's timid, who doesn't want to play, who doesn't go out for sports, who struggles at school, when with a little shift they could have such a richer life. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Put yourself again. Don't hurt the reader's feelings. You got to show with respect. Forestall misunderstandings. Don't even talk about anything that could be misconstrued. Don't be too brief. You know, or if you are brief, say, you know, there's so much more to say. This is only the introduction. I'd love to give you our website that has everything posted. I'd love to spend 10 minutes talking about your son or daughter, or your own situation. I'd love to have you at the school. Call without risk. Call without obligation. Let's figure the best way to take you to the next step. And I wouldn't just turn them to your website because then you lose control, Rob.
So what do you do?
I offer them our website after they call. We talk about it, then I'll give them the website.
Okay.
And I'll download it to
so
them.
So basically your goal is to get them on the phone.
My goal is to have a relationship. I'd rather have 10 times less response but 10 times greater quality response.
Got it.
Don't be too brief. Plan a beginning, middle, end. Where are you trying to take this? What's the goal? Go, you know, I'm skipping through some of these things.
Okay.
Don't use round numbers. Use specificity. If I say I've done millions, that's one thing. If I say I've done $7 billion worth of increased profit, I've looked at 50,000 different selling systems. I've personally tested over 287,000 different variables. I've created over 200 proprietary selling approaches. That has a lot more credibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd say.
Well, I'm trying to teach you what works for you. Keep the sentences short, the paragraphs short. Five lines maximum to a paragraph. Space in between. You may think it's cool to have 4-inch long paragraphs or one continuous paragraph. Don't do it. The only graphics or pictures you should use should denominate a result that's desired. Anything else is a waste of the focus. It's not strategic. Definitely in a brochure, in an ad, don't put anything cluttering underneath or on the sides. That diverts from the concept. The ultimate, I mean, there's a great great quote from Greek mythology. It's the story of Demosthenes and Pericles. Do you know it?
No.
Okay. I think Demosthenes, one of them was an orator, one of them was a farmer. And Rome was threatening Greece, and they were going to invade one of the villages. And the village people got together, and the great orator spoke first, and he was eloquent, and he was marvelous, and he was, you know, silvery-tongued. And when he was done, everyone in the village, he was advocating why they should raise arms and fight Rome. Everybody said, that was got to be the greatest speech I've ever heard. The other one was a farmer. He'd been there, his family, for years. He was in the community. He loved it, the soil, the people. He just loved, you know, he just loved Greece. He spoke from his heart, not well educated, awkward, but passionate, truthful, sincere, very understated. When he was done, you know what they said, Rob?
What's that, Jay?
Let's march. Now, what you want your ad to do is not be seen as an ad, not to look graphically cool, be very understated, look like an article. You want your letter to be very straightforward. It's a communication from one person to another. I don't care if you send it to 1,000 people, 10,000 people. If it's on TV and it's seen by 25 million, it's being seen, heard, read, listened to one person at a time. It's an expression of me to you. Does that make sense?
Well, that story you just told summarized everything in your list.
That's exactly right. Let me go on to the next because I'm going to run out of time here. These are John Caples, great copywriter. 20 ways to increase the selling power of your letter, ad, email, brochure. A lot of redundancy. Use present tense, second person. Keep hammering at the reader with you, you, you. It's not about me. It's not about I. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, the prospect. Practically all mail order and direct response advertising use three or more subheads in every full page. The subheads do two things. They break up the offer. They tell a complete story. They let somebody radar in on something they can start out in and get sort of engaged because it's like a clutch. You can't start always in fourth gear. You're assuming you're at the point of interest to everybody. You may not be. The third paragraph may be the topic, maybe about health benefits, maybe about building stamina. But you want to get them started. Next thing, that gets copy read that otherwise wouldn't. If you have a picture, it needs a caption. Don't assume people perceive it. The caption gets read like 10 times more than the picture.
Yeah.
Caption should say, this is a picture of our student, Marianne Smith, who just 90 days ago weighed 20 pounds more, had a 3-inch bigger waist, and had 50% less energy. And you show this voluptuous-looking woman doing a kick or something, mm-hmm. or man. Okay, next thing. The most important job of an ad or letter is to center all the attention on the product or service and none of the on the technique of presenting it. I already said short, simple words to express it. Educated readers understand short words. The Wall Street Journal is written for a 9th grade education. The local newspaper is written for a 7th or 8th.
Okay.
Your advertisement should be arranged so that the information comes first and the sales talk second. If the sales talk is placed first, the reader will never get to the information.
Okay.
It's logic 101.
Okay.
Let's see. An advertisement that gives away its secret in advance is like a magician who shows the audience the secret of his tricks before he performs it. I'm skipping. Long copy will almost always outpull short. It's base around.
But isn't that contrary to what most people will think?
Set up in paragraphs, subheads, written for you. Advertisers who can trace the direct response results of their ads use long copy always over short. Copy improves when the quality, when we cut it. You should overwrite. And I can teach you in the next call how to be your own best copywriter. Rules of mail order apply with equal force to direct response. Rules for headlines, paragraphs, all these are the same. Study the successful letters, ads that keep repeating. Emulate. I mean, I basically have something called the 100 greatest headlines of all time, and I told you I'm going to put the 35 lessons out there. You can use those things and emulate them. But I basically, great direct marketers, they don't steal or plagiarize. They respectfully emulate and model and borrow that which already works. You don't have to recreate the wheel. If you see an ad for a very sophisticated direct response ad repeating, if you see letters coming all the time to you at home, you should pretty much figure out the headlines work, the body, the premise, the call to action, the approach works. You can borrow that, and you're probably going to be far ahead of the unproven, untested stuff that most people in the industry put out, don't you think?
I would agree.
Okay. You know what, Rob? I want to stop here because we extended it by 25 minutes. I would like we covered a lot of ground. We didn't cover another five things that I wanted that I'll have to pack into tomorrow. I've got a great day for you tomorrow. I'm going to leave it sort of as a surprise, but it's going to be probably twice as rich and fast-paced as today. But I hope we covered a lot of ground. I'd like to open up for a couple of minutes for questions, if you like. Shante, are you there?
Let's do it.
Yes, sir.
Let's tell anybody on the call who has a question to please feel free to do so. What do they push, one?
I need them to please press one on their touch-tone phone now. Please only press one once. If you press it twice, it will remove you from the queue. All right, our first one will come from Chad Foster.
Chad?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm pretty good. Did you get anything out of this?
Oh, too much.
Better than too little, isn't it?
Well, probably, but you know, I'm one of the people out here that's got. I'm one of the 0.01%. My school's booked. I've got relatively long waiting lists, and the only way we can keep going, as far as I can see, to let more people come in, is by opening more schools.
Well, you have three choices.
Yeah.
You can open more schools in a joint venture with somebody who's not booked, who's already got a fixed overhead, who's not using it. I mean, you want to make, you can find 9 million schools out there or 9 million facilities that are only operating 1 or 2 hours in the evening, and you could commandeer all of them for a very modest incremental amount. Number two, if you got a waiting list and you're already booked, the other option is raise your prices, double your prices, and it probably won't matter. The other thing is how many hours a day do you teach?
Well, right now we're teaching 5 hours a day.
Okay, and 100% of people on the waiting list can't come any other time?
That's one of the things we're trying to test right now, to see if we can get more people in during the days and stuff.
I mean, if I were booked that much and I had the capacity, I mean, how many people in a class?
Our classes are between 20 and 25 each.
I don't know your field well enough, Rob. Is there a maximum for
a lot of it has,
in other words, is 25 the maximum? If you had 50, would it matter?
Not at all. Chad, how many square feet do you have?
We've got, you got to help me. I'm over in Denmark now. It's about 220 square meters. I think it's about 2,200 square feet.
Hey, Chad, let me ask you this.
But
incrementally, tomorrow morning, how many people on your waiting list?
I've probably got about 100 people on the waiting list in all right now between the different quarters.
Chad, listen to me for a minute. If tomorrow morning you had those 100 people as students, how much more would they be worth to you every 6 months?
Over here?
Yeah.
Well, give me just 1 second and I'll tell you.
Roughly. Give me worst case. Is it worth, give me just approximately in U.S. terms. How much would it be worth?
$30 a person per month.
Okay, so it's $3,000. What would it cost you to go down the street and rent a bigger facility and tell everyone that's where they're going to go?
A lot more. Over here, we're outpricing our nearest competitor by about 73%.
No, but what I'm saying is to rent a facility, to go to a hotel, to go to somebody who's not using their time. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, very frankly, there's that old adage, Rob, about the fly that is stuck in the glass wall when, in fact, the wall only goes up like 3 feet. But it gets so ingrained in the limitations that it doesn't look at the opportunities.
Yeah.
And I would say to you that you're probably looking at this in a very linear way, Tad. Is it Tad?
Chad.
Chad, excuse me. You know, you got here's the options. Option one is go to any other, it doesn't have to be a martial arts school. Anybody has a usable room. And if you call me, if I want to be trained by you, mm-hmm. and you say, hey, you got to come down the street 3 blocks over, or you go to another facility and say, you got to go here for training, or you got to wait 9 months, the odds are if you use marketing to educate them to why it's to their advantage to do it, they will do that. I mean, if tomorrow morning you have $3,000 more a month coming in, I don't think it's going to cost you anywhere close to $3,000 a month to use somebody else's facility for 2 or 3 hours. And the truth of the matter is, if you can add all these to your existing classes, you don't even have any more classes.
Why not get a facility up the street and have one of your black belts teach it as kind of like a satellite program?
Yeah, and have them pay a little bit less, but they get on the waiting list to be upgraded as soon as somebody falls off the other one.
Yeah.
You got so many options, Chad. You just got to take them. And if you don't want to take any of those, tell everybody there that the price just went up 40%. You appreciate it. And if they don't want to stay, they can go to the they can downsize to your operative and put the other people in it more money. I mean, you got a lot of, I envy you, but you got a lot more options, man.
Okay.
And here the average tuition in America is well over $100 now. So
yeah, I know that. And I'm biting myself every day because of that.
Good luck.
Well, there's help. I hope you've gotten, I hope that helps.
Good luck.
Yeah, I hope so. Thanks.
Thank you. Next.
Our next question will come from Mr. Terry Giammartino.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Jay. My question is about a little bit of print advertising because I don't do a lot of it. And I'm working with some other martial arts schools to jointly advertise because we're in different geographic areas, but we reach a target market in this paper that we're in. And I'm trying different headlines every couple of months. I have expiration dates on an offer that goes with each one. And I keep changing the picture with the headline to offer a different benefit so that I eventually hopefully hit all the different possible needs in the course of the year that we signed on to do this advertising. And so my question is, you know, as I'm testing, you know, response rates, how do I know when it really is not worthwhile to be in this publication? I mean, you say test until it's no longer profitable.
Well, we talked earlier in this call about allowable cost, right?
Uh-huh.
Allowable cost means, and for the starting point, I would just look at the first transaction. You can get deeper when you get more predictable cash flow and more success. But right now, if you say that on average the first sale on average you're going to have is going to be $800 or $500, mm-hmm. doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Okay? And you back out just the hard cost of that. Let's say it's 10% sales commission right now, even though it might be a lot more when you understand allowable cost. Let's say it's, you know, 10% for instructor and just a little overhead. So let's say you got a $400 allowable cost, all right? You could break even on that first sale and still be making a lot of money at the end of 6 months with them upgrading to another one. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So you can keep running that until and unless it stops bringing in, on average, $400 per, you know, if it costs $800 and it brings you $800 in allowable cost, you keep running it. If it costs $800 and it brings you $6, then you probably wouldn't until your cash flow is better. Does that make sense?
Right.
That's it.
Okay, well, I was just trying to figure out if there's some fixed time period that's reasonable to run an ad, analyze the response.
I look short term. You're not sophisticated enough, and you don't have the numbers and the lifetime value metrics, and I don't want to get you in trouble.
Okay.
Start out safe, and then go a little more daring as you get more comfort and greater cash flow. I'd start, if the average close rate, if 80% of the people coming from an ad are going to close in, what, Rob, 8 days, 10 days, 15 days, what?
Depends on how quick the school follows up. They should get them in the door fast and get them to close within a week.
So I'd say I'd look to get 80% of your money in 7 days, 7 working days. If you don't, if it doesn't cost justify, then stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But look, but also revisit it at the end of a month and 2 months, because if you start a more streamlined, systematic, strategic follow-up system, you may find, wow, I didn't follow through well. Now that I got this follow-up, I'm making 3 times as many of those people are closing a month later. Then you might want to go back to that ad that you abandoned. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Next.
All right. Next we have Mr. Stephen Ray.
Hi, Stephen. Stephen? Is he, maybe you got it on listen only, Stephen? You got it on mute?
Well, he's open. He's just not responding.
Stephen, can you hear us? Last chance.
Next, please. Sorry, Steve.
Okay.
Again, at this time, if you have a question, please press 1 on your touch-tone phone now.
I'd like to hope you do because, I hope I was clear, but what I'd like to do real quickly, let me change the game real quick before we conclude. I'd like to ask everybody here to take a minute and then think, what's the biggest, most impactful insight revelation, epiphany, or opportunity that has come to your mind in call one and two that you can actually take action on quickly, and what are you going to do with it? And I'd like you to then report it. Because if there are, you know, 500 of you on this call, there are 400 different insights. If I can get, you know, 5-10 of you to share them in the end of this call, that'll probably show each of you four more things than you'd ever thought about.
Brilliant.
And that'll enrich your investment in this that much more. So think about what the biggest single insight of all that you've learned is that you can take action on now, what you're going to do about it, and then push one. Right now, please.
Okay, are we ready?
I'm ready as soon as somebody pushes one, Shante.
I have a couple. First, Clara Miner.
Clara, all right.
Clara, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, I hope you're enjoying this.
Oh, totally.
What's your biggest single insight and what are you going to do with it?
Using your list of past clients, past customers, past students.
What are you going to do with it?
Tons of them.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, going to get them, call them, write, send postcards, get in contact with them, communicate them, with them, find out where they're at, what's happening in their lives, how we can be of service to them.
Good. Rob did that. What did you make, Rob, $17,000 first time you did it?
Well, after reading that chapter in your book, Jay, I sent out a rejoin letter to a bunch of former NAPMA members, and within a week and a half, 17 of them called in and said, hey, let's get back on board with NAPMA.
And what's that worth a year?
Well, I'd say at least $17,000.
Yeah, so it's pretty well worth endeavor.
But then again, they're...
Next. John Day?
Okay. Hello? Okay. Oh, Ms. Miner, were you finished?
Oh, you have another thing you were going to say?
That was it. That and the copy, too, because I write my own copy for my ads, and I do all of my ads. And over the years, I've been studying different things, and you just kind of brought it all together.
And tomorrow, Clara, I'm going to teach you how to be your own best copywriter. I'll try to do that at the end, Rob. Remind me.
Great.
Oh, excellent. That'll be great.
Thank you. Okay, next.
John Graham.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. The question is, how are you doing?
Wonderful. My eyes are open and they're shut at the same time. Thank you so much.
What's the biggest single insight, and what are you going to do with it?
Well, I tell you, I'm getting the actual lifetime value of my students, and then taking the lifetime value and what it costs to run my school, and then from there, look at my marketing budget rather than, well, get a gross and throw 10% on top of that. You don't go any further than that, and that's what you do because that's what everybody says, 10% of your gross. And I've been doing that, beating myself up for years, and I really thank you for opening my eyes on that.
This is very powerful. When you master this, and you got to do it conservative in the beginning, it can rapidly transform the success for the better of your school. Good luck, man.
Thank you, sir.
Shante?
Okay, we have Terry again.
Terry again, wow.
I just wanted to say, same as Clara, working my previous students, working that attrition list, and especially when it comes to the kids, because they've grown and they're now maybe middle school, high school, or even college level, maybe offer some kind of a quick program that they can buy into that short term to get them up to speed at the level that they'd now be interested in, which might be very different than when they were an elementary school client.
Right. Keep in mind what I said. There's this concept that you should indelibly embed in your mind and always remember. It's called the moving parade, the continuum of life, the cycle of life. People change, and they don't always stay constant. They get better, they get worse, they get stressed, they get fat, they get intimidated, they lose confidence. But were we all born and instilled with everything in the beginning and never had any – but we aren't constant. And that works to your – continuous benefit in a noble way because you can help get them back on track, and in an economic way because you'll make a lot of money, but you won't make it if you don't bring it to their attention in a continuous advisory and consultative way. Thank you. Anybody else? Shante?
Actually, we do have Troy Cheatwood.
All right, Troy.
Yes, I was thinking about adding on to the past students' intro, somebody that just came in maybe one time, tried it, and then left.
And so what are you going to try to do, Troy?
Probably send them like a free month to try to get them in a free guarantee.
I'm going to say one thing that I didn't say that I may forget tomorrow to all of you. I've not specialized in your field, but I've worked over the years with people in your field. And one school that we worked with in Australia increased their business something like ninefold, 900%.
Wow.
just by testing a different, longer free trial offer. Instead of doing one lesson or 1 week, they did six, and they found that six out. I'm not saying you will, because different situations will experience different results, but it's worth testing one safe time. They found that the people that came for that were already more philosophically committed. They were more qualitative, and they were able to close them and upgrade them really within 2 weeks. But that was, that seemingly crazy amount of free generosity produced monstrously greater results. Anybody else, Shante?
I do have two more.
Okay, then we're done.
Joe Turner is next.
Hi, Bill. Is it Bill or Joe?
Joe.
Joe Turner, how you doing?
I'm good. I hope you're enjoying it.
Absolutely. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can, yes. What's your insight?
I guess for us, it's more about using those force multipliers. It just, although we've done a lot of things over time and we have several things working concurrently and repetitively throughout the year, just really taking that step back to get a more strategic grasp on exactly what we're doing, reevaluate why we're doing each one, and just lock in a more concise strategic plan that we can follow up on and analyze and gauge our results from.
Yeah, that's great. And you're going to be very well rewarded for the effort and investment. Every time I've ever seen anybody go from episodic, erratic, tactical, non-strategic to very strategic, integrated, and sequential, and having multiple, like having a power Parthenon, their business grew geometrically, compounded. And you're going to be very excited. Don't expect it to happen tomorrow morning. Give it a shot, because you're going to have to refine it. You have to test it. And just like the first day, martial arts student probably wants to be a black belt, but looks pretty awkward trying to swing and kick and be a little nurturous and patient with yourself, but it will occur. Thank you. One more, Shante.
Our final one will come from Sander Urban.
Hi, Sander.
Hi, Jay.
Good.
Hi, Mr. Urban.
Hi, how's it going?
All right.
I got a question for you on what are your feelings about the introductory process, running through a free introductory for an extended period, like in your 502 incredible case studies. I found one of the guys in there was a martial arts school owner, and he was using the 1 month free plus a free uniform with no obligation to join or continue versus like a paid introductory program that might be on a shorter period of time.
When I give you this answer, it's going to frustrate and then it's going to excite you. It's Sander?
Okay.
Here's the answer. I don't know. It depends. My view is not relevant. When I give you rules, I will give you rules. When you ask questions about different approaches, what I will say is, given your sales ability, given your ability to dimensionalize and value the process, the experience, the outcome, given the process to lead generate, you should try one approach over another. This, you should do a test of a long-term one, 6 weeks with a uniform, and say, I'm going to do it. There's an approach that you can try, which is sort of interesting. You can say, we've done this very successfully. There's something called a marketing test. You can say, as part of a daring, bold marketing test, we are trying. We want to find out whether if we invest in you for 6 weeks and you're the right person and we can deliver, you'll sustain. So we're willing to give you a 6-week program, including your uniform, your belt, all your instructionals, work, even a pad, for nothing more than one intangible commitment. Your promise that you will, in fact, come at least 2 times a week for 6 weeks in a row. At the end of the 6 week, it's up to you. Stay, continue, leave. That's a pretty cool approach.
So
yeah,
the bottom line is test it.
Yeah, but you got to try it against just a short-term one. Different people have different experiences, and you might even be able to do multiple ones to different industries. In other words, if I were going to an endorsed market that was very qualitative, I might be more inclined to go with a longer, freer deal because I knew the quality of people was going to be so much richer. But I don't know. Don't try to find the magic answer out there. The only vote that counts is the vote of the marketplace by their responses, by their calls, by their visits, by their commitments, by their credit card. Don't even worry about it. Just try stuff. It'll be, you don't have to be, you need never know the answer. You just have to be willing to ask the questions. Okay, I'm done. I hope we gave them enough content today.
Jay,
tomorrow's
going to
be a
absolutely
fun day. I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be, but it's going to be even better. Rob, any concluding comments?
We are swimming in knowledge here, Jay.
Okay, I'll talk to everyone tomorrow, same time. See you. Thank you. Bye.
See you guys tomorrow for day three of the Ultimate Martial Arts Teleconference Series with the legendary Jay Abraham. See you tomorrow, guys. Bye-bye.